Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
My favorite, Frank Vassalero.
I'm your only.
Well, but you're my favorite.
Well, I've got that.
Yes. How are you doing today, Franco?
Good. What is the autumnal correction? What are you talking about?
It's a cold front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're due. I mean, we had 90s last weekend. And
true.
People thought, well, hey. But what I've learned the hard way is that when the pendulum swings too far in one direction, it usually swings just as far in the other direction. And yeah, I mean, the sun is as high in the sky as it was third week of March. So yeah, we should be cooling down, and we will starting next week.
Yeah, but I don't like the nights the days are just getting so much shorter. Sun goes down so much earlier.
You have more energy in June than you do in December?
Yeah, I'm a summer guy. I like it hot.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I mean, I enjoy all the seasons, but something special about summer. But we did have a supersized summer. We really almost had 4 months of real summer weather with 80s and humidity.
Once we got rid of April.
Yeah.
Once we shoveled out of April, it was
good.
Take
that to my grave.
So.
Hey, what you're tracking the trade war, the growing tariffs back and forth with China. How is this going to impact listeners?
Well, this is interesting. We were doing a story. You know, we're such a big bike state in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So starting Monday, bikes, all their parts and all the accessories, which a lot I didn't realize come from China, are going to have a 10% duty. That's on Monday. If nothing changes and we don't settle this thing by January 1st, it jumps up to 25%. So right now, all these bike shops, bike dealers, bike companies are deciding, do we try to eat that and not make as much money, or do we pass it along to consumers? And that's, you know, kind of a risky thing to do because then, you get in a spot where people might not be buying as many. So, there's so much growth and innovation in the bike industry, and you see these e-bikes now and all these other ones, and almost all of them, which I didn't realize, are made in China other than some really high-end custom bikes. But most of the frames, most of the parts come from China. So now these guys are trying to figure out, do we ask the vendors to eat a little bit of it? Do we pass it along? Do we eat it? What are we going to do? And they're concerned about it for sure.
Do you get any kind of feedback from businesses around the state? I mean, based on your reporting and what you're seeing, that there is concern? I mean, the economy, by all measures, doing well, unemployment low, the market's, reaching new highs. But there seems to be a little bit of unease underneath the surface.
Unease is a good word because, like today, we talked to Chris Scoggin over at PennCycle. And PennCycle's a big dealer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that they don't like is uncertainty, right? He said, we're in uncharted territory. He goes, we don't want to pass it along. But eventually, we might have to, depending on how long it goes and what happens. But, retailers are reluctant to just go, hey, this $1,000 bike is now $1,100 because it's Monday, right? And because we're going to get hit with all these other things. So when you talk to business owners, most of the ones that I talk to either privately or that we do stories about, it's just the uncertainty about what's going to happen. Same story with the farmers, right? How much is feed going to cost?
Yeah,
what am I going to get for price for my beans? What about my corn? Will I be able to export as much? How much do I plant? Do I need to buy more fertilizer, less fertilizer? And markets in general hate uncertainty, right? They like, oh, I can see next year in the next 3 months I'm going to grow, and that's what drives stocks, and that's what drives earnings, and we'll sell more, we'll make more. But, when you go, yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen, that's when you get into trouble. So a lot of these guys are thinking maybe we go to Taiwan or Vietnam, to try to get things made there. But then, that's a 3-month, 6-month ramp up. right? Get new vendors, get new people. It's not easy. It's not quick.
That's non-trivial, adjusting your supply chain on the fly.
Yeah. So anyway, it's more than anything, it's just the uncertainty of what's going to happen, I think, that bothers people.
And again, there is obviously legitimate concern about theft of intellectual property on the part of China. And, you know, the president's calculus, by everything I see, is that China ultimately has more to lose than we do. And it becomes sort of who's going to blink first.
Right. I thought the big impetus, you know, I mean, we have an election in 48 days. And I would think that would be the big driver, is try to get something done, you know, before the election. And then you can go to voters and go, we did the tax hike. We did a trade deal with Mexico. Today they were working on the one with Canada. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can say, hey, we got taxes, we got Mexico, we got Canada, and we got China. I mean, I think you put yourself in just a much better spot politically.
And a face-saving way that you can reach an accommodation with China.
Yeah, because that's big for them, right?
Right, right. Saving face, where the president can claim rightly that, hey, I negotiated a better deal. And the Chinese can say, yeah, well, you know, they'll put their spin on it, too.
Right. Let them, everyone's got to compromise a little bit.
Hey, what happened on this date in 1970?
You got to think about this. CBS show. And can you think of it there, or do you need clue number two?
Walter Cronkite?
Something
with Walter?
Minneapolis Connection.
Mary Tyler Moore?
You are correct, sir.
Bing, bing, bing.
It aired first show on CBS. So 7-year run, 29 Emmys it won.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a great show.
Yeah, and we've got the great tribute, you know, right down the street on Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis, so... on the corner of Nicollet and 7th, which is cool.
Frankie, when I came out here in 83 for a job interview at WTCN,
yeah,
they took me to lunch at the top of the IDS, the Orion Room. Do you remember
right.
the Orion Room?
Right.
I had a nice lunch there. And then they took me for a drive around Lake of the Isles to see the Mary Tyler Moore House, and so I could do some ooing and aahing. And then they took me to the Byerly's in St. Louis Park. With the chandeliers and the artwork.
And did you say, I'm sold?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Did they say to you, you remind us of Ted Knight?
At no point did Ted Knight come up. No. All right, we're done.
Did they say you remind us of Betty White or Cloris Leachman?
Okay, can you pod down his microphone? Frank, so sorry. Look at the time. It's been fun.
You're the best.
Thank you, Frank.
Take care.
Thanks for making me laugh.
Bye-bye.
Needed that. All right, when we come back, brace yourself. It's almost like a winter storm. I mean, what we're looking at tomorrow, and I hope the models are wrong. The models are often wrong. We are often wrong. And I kind of hope we are wrong. But if the models are right, tomorrow will be one of the wetter days of the year. We could get 6 weeks worth of rain tomorrow, with a threat of hail and even a few isolated tornadoes. Obviously, most of us won't see tornadoes, but there is that threat. Tomorrow looks like a volatile day, and there's a real cold front brewing that's coming up in Weather Therapy next on CCO.
They haven't seen anything like what's coming at us in 25, 30 years, maybe ever. It's tremendously big and tremendously wet. Tremendous amounts of water. So I've spoken with the governors of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. They're prepared. We're prepared. We're working very well in conjunction with the governors.
Big and wet, which may be the understatement of the year, but it is accurate. And Florence continues to wreak havoc in North Carolina, even though the storm is gone, as we learned with Harvey, as we learned with Irma, as we learned with Maria in Puerto Rico. It's the aftermath of the storm. It's days, in some cases weeks, or even months after the storm that people are still impacted. Low-income people tend to be impacted longer. It takes longer for them to recover. Rivers are still rising. Many rivers have not crested. There's some towns that are still cut off, some people who are still isolated and not able to get help. I saw some rainfall reports over 40 inches in parts of southeastern North Carolina. 40 inches of rain. And even the governor of North Carolina shook his head and he said, we've had two separate 500-year floods 2 years apart. So you start to scratch your head and wonder, is this really a 500-year flood? We just had two of them back to back over the span of 2 years. We're going to be hearing more about Florence and the impact on North Carolina. And again, it kind of puts our weather woes into perspective. By the way, the fall equinox, if anybody asks, the official arrival of autumn is Saturday at 8:54 in the evening when the sun's rays will fall directly on the equator. The sun is high in the sky now as it was the third week of March. So, yeah, we should be cooling down, and we will cool down. The model's still hinting at a frost for northern and central Minnesota by the end of next week. Details TBD. But the longer-range model's hinting at significantly cooler than average the last few days of September into the first week of October. So there will be a correction from last weekend's 90s, which, yeah, that was a little strange. The big story we're tracking weather-wise is what's going to happen tomorrow. The ground is saturated from very heavy rains in recent days and weeks, especially south of the Twin Cities. The ground is saturated, waterlogged. It can't soak up any more rainwater. And that's why the National Weather Service has issued a flash flood watch for far southern Minnesota. It does not include the immediate Twin Cities metro. I have a hunch they may expand the watch later tonight or tomorrow because the models, everything I looked at, prints out 2 to 4 inches of additional rain tomorrow. And most of that will fall during the day tomorrow into the evening hours. So it's really going to come down. And again, with road construction and just the normal volumes of traffic, especially in and around the Twin Cities, I predict a mess. Hope I'm wrong, but it's going to be wet, rain heavy at times. I do expect some street and stream flooding. If your basement normally floods in the spring, in May or June, you may have some issues tomorrow, which a little unusual for late September, not unprecedented, but rare to get this much rain. 5-6 weeks worth of rain falling tomorrow. So we'll see. That and the severe threat. The Storm Prediction Center, SPC, which is a division of the National Weather Service based in Oklahoma City, actually it's Norman, they have an enhanced risk of severe weather tomorrow from the Twin Cities on south and east. What that means is a heightened risk of storms capable of producing large hail, damaging winds, and even a few isolated tornadoes can't be ruled out. We're going to have enough wind shear, enough instability. Once those storms do bubble up, they may start to spin. And it's those spinning, pirouetting thunderstorms that can often go on to spin up large hail and even tornadoes. I think the best odds of that happening would be south and east of the Twin Cities. It really depends where the warm frontal boundary sets up, but a better chance in Rochester or Northfield than Elk River or the Lake Mille Lacs area. But I have a hunch that there will be some tornado watches and even some warnings issued tomorrow. So nothing we can do other than stay weather aware and just stay alert and be ready to take action and seek shelter if threatening weather does in fact materialize tomorrow. Right now, the Doppler dry in the immediate Twin Cities metro, but there's another wave of rain passing off south metro. Heavier storms down towards I-90, Worthington, Fairmont, pushing towards Albert Lea and Austin. And that front is working its way north again, and that is what is going to make it rain cats, dogs, and canaries tomorrow. The good news is we dry out on Friday, and the weekend looks pretty good. 60s on Saturday. It'll feel like a typical September day on Saturday. A light breeze from the southeast, upper 60s. Sunday looks a little warmer, low 70s. Again, partly sunny skies. And then quite a bit of rain coming in Monday, and then another burst of rain next Wednesday out ahead of these Canadian cold fronts. And by the end of next week, there will be no doubt in your mind that it's late September. And yeah, we've had years where it snowed in late September. I can remember a few years vividly where we've had flurries. I don't see any flurries yet, but a definite correction by the end of next week, temperature-wise. When we come back, I want to hear from you. Jordan is off. I need some help here. I want to hear from you. Give us a call at 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. What do you think about what's happening with Brett Kavanaugh? Is it fair? Is this due process? Is this a ploy to delay his confirmation hearings, maybe until after the midterms? What's your take on what's going on? Minnesotans seem to be evenly split over exactly what is transpiring in Washington, D.C. Dr. Christine Blasey Ford deserves to be heard. She still has not committed to attending this interview, this hearing next Monday that Chuck Grassley is overseeing, the Senate Judiciary Committee. She hasn't given any indication whether or not she's going to show up. She wants an FBI investigation first before she agrees to show up in person. What do you think of that? Just curious to get your take. That's why we're here. Give us a call, 651-989-9226, or text us at 81807. We hear from you when we come back on CCO.
I would say this. I think he's an extraordinary man. I think he's a man of great intellect, as I've been telling you, and he has an unblemished record. This is a very tough thing for him and his family, and we want to get it over with. At the same time, we want to give tremendous amounts of time. If she shows up, that would be wonderful. If she doesn't show up, that would be unfortunate.
And Chuck Grassley, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is hoping that Dr. Christine Blasey Ford shows up on Monday for testimony. His words, Dr. Ford's testimony would reflect her personal knowledge and memory of events. Nothing the FBI or any other investigator does would have any bearing on what Dr. Ford tells the committee, so there's no reason for any further delay. Those are the words of Chuck Grassley. So why does Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, who has alleged sexual assault back in 1982 at a party in Montgomery County, Maryland, that allegedly Brett Kavanaugh was at, and she alleges that she was, in fact, sexually assaulted. So why an investigation? That was one of the questions I had today. Why should this FBI investigation come before actual Senate testimony? Their attorneys, Ford's attorneys, Deborah Katz and Lisa Banks, released a statement. Quote, a full investigation by law enforcement officials will ensure that the crucial facts and witnesses in this matter are assessed in a nonpartisan manner and that the committee is fully informed before conducting any hearing or making any decisions. Of course, there are high stakes for the GOP if they delay confirmation, potentially setting themselves up for a big political defeat, or should they just move forward with the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, give Christine Blasey Ford a chance to say her piece, and risk appearing that they aren't willing to respect a woman's accusations against a powerful man. I don't have the answer key. I'm hoping one of you does. Cynthia in Buffalo, thank you for hanging on the line. What do you think of all this? What do you make of this?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Cynthia.
Well, I hate to sound like a dampener, but I smell a rat.
How so?
Well, the timing of this is just too convenient. And I'm not saying nothing happened. Okay, I wasn't there. And it was so long ago. But, you know, for what it's worth, and I'm not going to go into details, but a lot happened to me very similar when I was young. I'm in my 60s now. But I have moved on, and I actually forgave my attackers, and you can't, I think this is just a political distraction. I think they're doing everything they can to make sure this poor man doesn't get to where he needs to be. I do believe it's political, and I think somebody's coaching her. I really do. That's just my own opinion. I can't prove it, but you asked.
Yeah, no, and thank you for weighing in.
I don't buy it.
And I'm speaking for all of us, I hope. I'm really sorry for what you went through, and I admire your courage in coming forward and talking about this. Let me ask you a question.
Certainly.
If you're, again, you went through something really bad. If the person who did that was running, being nominated for the Supreme Court, would it change the calculus? Would you feel any obligation to come forward? Would it be a civic duty, or would you just turn the page, hey, it's old history, I'm moving on?
No, because, and I'm not saying that Mr. Kavanaugh did or didn't. As I said, I wasn't there. But if he did, he was a kid. He knows right from wrong. If he was drunk, he was drunk, okay? But I don't think that we should focus. You know, that's what's going on in our country right now. We get so caught up in what sensational it is, and then it gets politicized. And then the poor person who's running for office gets stomped on in the process. And that's not the country that I remember as a child. I mean, when I was a kid, we said grace before dinner. When you gave your word, it was truth. You didn't sass back at your school teacher, and you ate what was put in front of you and thank God for it because somebody else didn't have that. And I just think we get so indulged, and we make so much of, you know, people protesting in the street. And as long as we give them, you know, as long as we give them the media time, hey, that's the distraction. Where the real matter of getting this country back on our feet gets kind of shoved by the wayside. And, you know, speaking as a veteran, and speaking as someone who loves this country deeply, who's seen a lot of changes in the past, breaks my heart. And we need revival in this land. We do. We need to get back to basics.
Well,
and that means not beating up people that are running for office.
Right.
If you made a mistake, if you really made the mistake, Paul, and I'm sure as an older man now and a family man, I'm sure he regrets it. I mean, people, you know, the good book says, you know, you don't forgive others. Don't expect God to forgive you.
Let he who's without sin cast the first stone, right?
That's right.
But
when my attacker attacked me, I was 3 years old.
Ugh.
And I never forgot it. But when I got older, this was a fellow who was my brother's buddy growing up in high school and everything. And when I approached him 2 years ago, he was home alone, and I said, Ted, I need to tell you something. There's a reason why we didn't let you be a pallbearer at my mother's funeral, and I'm going to tell you what it is. I said, I did not want the man who did what he could to me touching my mother's coffin. And he looked at me in shock because he honestly couldn't remember it.
He forgot about
remember it?
It.
Well, he was an alcoholic. So, and as a nurse, I know that a lot of times the brain does get affected and you really don't remember certain things. But he broke down and cried, Paul, right there. And he said, Cynthia, if you said I did it, then I probably did. And I am so sorry. And I mean, it was, we both cried. And I said, I forgive you. I said, I mean, I'm strong. I'm okay. But he did the same thing to my sister. My sister forgave him. And I said, I will tell you this. I will tell you this, Ted. I said, I have forgiven you, but here's what I want you to do. And he was sobbing. I said, you go back into that house, because we were outside. I said, you go back outside, back in that house. You get down on your knees and you talk to the Lord and repent of it, because I tell you what, I think he's still pissed. And he said, okay, I will. And he was in the house. I never saw him again. I didn't plan on going over there. I was actually on my way to a shopping center. But over the years, I prayed to find the strength to confront this man. Because even though he did what he did, God loves him too. Jesus died for all of us.
You got some closure.
I had that closure. And I tell you what, Paul, then I really felt some real healing. And I think the poor women who've been through this need to do a little soul searching. And I'm not saying that they weren't, as I said, I want to emphasize, I'm not saying they weren't attacked. I don't know. But God knows, and you can't fool him.
Cynthia, thank you for a great call, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. I'm blessed.
I bet. You hang in there.
All right.
All right. Jim in St. Paul, and by the way, we should point out that Christine Blasey Ford has had to move due to threats. Her family was forced to relocate out of their home. Her email has been hacked. She's been impersonated online. I don't know. Maybe this is why she didn't want to come forward, why it took so long. I don't begin to know. But, Jim, do you have an opinion?
Yes, I sure do, Paul. You know, the other day I was thinking, you know, there's people that call up and they say, oh, he should be forgiven, this and that. You know, they don't seem to be forgiven people like our senator or, you know. And the thing is, she told her psychiatrist about this and named names 5 years ago. That's before he ever thought of running for being a...
Back in 2012, as I recall.
Exactly. You know, then they say, well, we've got to do this right away. They let that Supreme Court vacancy for a year under Obama. It wasn't important then. And finally, I have one more thing to say. Judge Kavanaugh wanted to vote against this girl. I think she was 17 and pregnant, and she was, you know, came from across the border. And he wrote in there that... you know, she knew what she was doing. It was 17, and consequences should—they should count at 17. Well, now, just because he's who he is, they're saying, "Oh well, he was 17 and he was drunk. Therefore, consequences shouldn't count."
You don't get a pass because you're drunk.
Yeah, if you look at all the hypocrisy that I see coming from the right side. In everything you've been doing lately, and I mean, just take a look at the stuff that has come out already, and I hope they don't confirm Kavanaugh. I really do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jim. I dare say there's hypocrisy on both sides, but we'll see. I mean, Jay in Plymouth, real quick, 30 seconds. I want to get you in here before the break. What do you think?
Hi, Paul. I like the first caller. She was fantastic. Here's the deal. I don't care if Kavanaugh got drunk when he was 17 and had a little rough horseplay. The point is, she was not harmed. She may have been frightened. That's fine. She was not harmed. You know, at some point, people need to let stuff go. Everybody's been bullied in their life. Everybody's had people do bad things in their life. Maybe people have gotten beat up. The point is, if you weren't harmed, you got to move on. And it seems like this has gotten to be a common theme with anybody running for office or anything else. Somebody comes out of the woodwork at the last minute, and they don't just say, he beat me up. They say, it's always got to be something involving sex. That seems to be the real killer. Nobody would care if Kavanaugh was accused of beating the heck out of somebody. But as soon as you bring the sexual element into it, everybody's involved.
Hey, Jay,
quit putting this importance on sex.
Well, I mean, she wasn't raped, but she was traumatized. I mean, according to her.
Paul, I've been traumatized. Everybody's been traumatized.
Have you been sexually assaulted?
Pardon me?
Have you ever been sexually assaulted? I have not. I can't imagine what people who have.
By legal definition, Paul, I have. But the point is, it was a woman who grabbed me in a private area at a concert. I wasn't hot or hurt by it or offended by it, but by law, she sexually assaulted me. Well, how come it didn't bother me, Paul? But you know why? Because I wasn't hurt by it. It's just a body part. That's it. It's just a body part. We all have bodies. Let's quit making this stuff so important.
All right, Jay, I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you for weighing in. Oh, just a body part. All right. Wish my brain was bigger. All right. It is now 4:50 on CCO. That's Wicks and Jewelers time. Whether you're choosing a new piece of jewelry or looking to custom create the piece of your dreams. And by the way, we're going to keep this going. We're going to keep this going through the 5 o'clock hour. We want to hear from you. Back to what I was saying. It's time to turn to the experts at Wicks and Jewelers. I don't know much. And my wife reminds me of that every day. But I do know that touching somebody, I mean, without consent, it's wrong. I mean, wrong is wrong. And our listeners agree, at least some of them do, drinking, being drunk, or under the influence of any drug is not an excuse. You are responsible for your actions, no matter what, harmed or not. Wrong is wrong. And the last caller, that may be your opinion. I don't think a lot of people share that opinion. Just get over it. I don't think that's a viable option. We keep this going after 5 o'clock. Stay tuned.
One of the most violent sex offenders in state history is set to be released. That's at 5:03 on WCCO and KMNB-FM HD2, Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.